Pleased to welcome to the program today Quincy School Superintendent Kevin Mulvey and Assistant Superintendent Aaron Perkins to chat a little bit about how back to in-person learning is going. So Mr. Mulvey and Aaron, nice to see you. Thank you both for joining us.
Good to see you too, yeah. Joe. Thank you for having us. And I'm here today with our Assistant Superintendent Aaron Perkins. So we're pleased to have Aaron join us today. So thank you for having us, Joe.
It's my pleasure, Aaron. Nice to virtually meet you. Congratulations on your new role.
Thank you. Nice to meet you too. Thank you very much.
Of course, new in that role, but certainly not new at the Quincy Public Schools. You're able to hit the ground running. Mr. Mulvey, we should probably start with you and ask you kind of for a status update, if you could, on how Quincy Public Schools are doing right now.
Sure, that would be great. Last night, so that would have been Wednesday night, February 24th. We had a teacher and learning subcommittee with the school committee, and we gave them the information on our current return to school plan. So I'll be happy to share that with you today as well. So on Monday, February 22nd, this past Monday, we had the return to full in-person learning for our hybrid students, grades 1 to 3, and that went very smoothly. So we're happy to report that. So our grade 1 to 3 hybrid students can no longer be called hybrid. They are called in-person students, which is excellent. So grades 1 to 3 are back. We are now planning for grade 12 at the high school level to come back March 1st. For all of our hybrid grade 12 students, they will be back full in-person effective March 1st. So that is great. And we're continuing to plan for all grades, including kindergarten and the rest of the grades. 4 through 5 will likely be next as we plan for reentry of the next group of students. Our principals and our superintendent's leadership team members are working extremely hard to get all of our in-person hybrid students back to full in-person. So we're hoping to do that sometime between mid-March and April 1st.
Now, any indication as to how many students are opting to come back full-time? Because it's still optional, is that right?
It still is, and the state has indicated most recently that the full remote option would be available to students and families through the end of this year. And certainly students have elected to do that. Currently, right now, system-wide, we have about 52% of our students electing to stay full remote. And about 48% of our students are electing to do the hybrid in person. So we're assuming, based on our numbers for the return of grade 1 to 3, that that number will stay static and we'll still have about 48% of our students who will elect to come in person 5 days a week when the transition to full in person comes to an end.
And that's pretty reflective of how it's gone throughout this whole pandemic, is it not?
It really is. It's been almost that 50-50 of students and families electing to either stay remote or do the full in-person. And the remote students, there are various reasons why they've decided to stay remote. Some of those students have elderly family members staying with them. People that are high risk or have comorbidities. We're hoping that with the increase of the vaccine that people, as well as our pool testing, which we'll talk about later in the program, we're hoping that between both of those will build confidence in those students and families, and hopefully they will feel more comfortable about returning over time.
Yeah. Now, when you say full-time in-person, is that fully 5 days per week?
That would be. And the half-day, which is typically on Tuesdays, would still remain half-day on Wednesdays. So it would be 2 full days, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, half-day on Wednesday.
Okay.
For most of my kids.
That's for cleaning, disinfecting, is that right?
That's correct, yes.
Okay. Yeah. And what does, an in-person classroom look like, Mr. Mulvey, during a pandemic?
The in-person classroom, and myself and Mrs. Perkins have been visiting all the schools pretty regularly since the pandemic began. So in particular, our hybrid in-person students since September all the way through to currently now for our grade 1 to 3 who are in person. The atmosphere in the classrooms, I have to say, is excitement. Laughter, joy, smiles, happy to be back and engaged with their teachers. And the teachers have been doing a fantastic job. All the educational staff have to give credit not only to the teachers, but to the nurses, to the paraprofessionals, to the custodians, to the bus drivers, the bus monitors. Everyone has been working together to make sure that our in-person students are safe and comfortable in school. But I know Mrs. Perkins will have some thoughts on how the return to in-person learning has been for our students. But I would say excitement and joy are the probably two words that come to mind when I see and visit the schools and the children in their classrooms. So Mrs. Perkins.
Yeah, I mean, I heard a story this morning when I was at one of our schools about how our students for the first time have seen the other half of their friends. And they were, you know, in the cafeteria and just, you know, big hi, you know, because they hadn't seen their friends all year, you know, some of them. So I would agree. Excitement, joy, just so happy to be back. They're doing a great job with all the social distancing and the mask wearing. They're pros. And so, you know, I think that it definitely looks different when you walk into the classroom for sure. But the learning is still happening. The education is still happening. And the students are just so happy to be back with their friends.
Yeah, I know there's been some questions as to whether it's 3 feet of separation or 6 feet of separation. What are Quincy schools abiding by?
So currently we're abiding by the 6 feet of separation. So there's a divergence currently between what the state, the local education department, the governor's office is recommending. They're saying school departments can go anywhere between 3 and 6 feet, whereas the CDC is saying it should remain 6 feet as long as a city or town remains in the red. So we're trying to reconcile that a divergence between the two pieces of advice, and we will over time. As Quincy approaches yellow and green, I think we would have more flexibility about talking about reducing the distance to something less than 6. We may not need to go all the way down to 3. In some cases we will over time, but in other cases we may only need 4 feet or 5 feet of distance to accomplish the goals of bringing as many students back to school that want to come back. So there's that divergence between what the federal government is saying, the state is saying, and we're working through those discrepancies, and hopefully over time we'll meet in a spot where we can get as many students back who are willing to come back and want to come back as possible in class to in-person learning.
Right. With 6 feet, I'm sure there's just no way you can have 100% in-person learning.
It's a big, big challenge. Our principals and SLT and the teaching staff, custodians, everyone are working because the for instance, we have for any particular class that say would hold 20 students, you know, we have to cut that in half to about 10 to manage the 6 foot distance. And so that required all of the furniture being removed out that would typically be in a classroom, finding storage space for that furniture, rearranging the desks, making sure that the desks remain in place based on taping so that it maintains that 6 foot distance. So that's just an example of all of the work that had to go into making sure that we maintain that 6 foot distance. We'll be doing that, of course, when we bring back grades 4 and 5 as well.
Sure. What are the other safety protocols that are taking place due to the pandemic?
So obviously the mask wearing protocols are in place, and they have been since we returned to school in September. The hygiene protocols of washing hands, the 6 foot distance protocol, of course. We're also increasing obviously our cleaning regimen for the schools. We've added since grade 1 to 3 came back, we added a midday cleaning by the custodians for all of the bathrooms, for instance. So hygiene, mask wearing, social distancing are all key. I should also give a big thank you to our food service staff who have been providing all of the nutritional needs for our both in-person students and remote students since this pandemic began in March. But they really stepped up in September and currently now for the return of grade 1 to 3. To make sure that all of our nutritional needs of our students are being met and met safely. So
Yeah, what does lunch look like, Mr. Mulvey? Is the cafeteria is open?
So the cafeterias mostly are not open. So what we've been doing is some of our cafeterias, by the way, are being used as classroom spaces because of social distancing needs. Some are being reserved for use as lunchroom spaces where necessary. But in many instances, in most instances, the lunch service is more of like of a grab and go type of thing where lunch is being served in the classroom. Okay. In order to maintain the cohorts of our students so as to minimize any type of intermingling of cohorts. Again, all in an effort to keep our students and staff safe and minimize the spread of COVID-19.
Sure. One of the major changes with the return of the younger students is the pool testing program, right?
Absolutely, yes. So we as soon as the state indicated that pool testing would be available to districts. And the good thing is the state will be paying for this program for the next 6 weeks, which is great. It not only covers the testing itself, but also support staff, which would definitely be needed. Mrs. Perkins and Mrs. Bailey, our health services coordinator, have been doing a tremendous job with working with our principals and existing nursing staff to roll this out. And Erin is the in-house expert on pool testing at the moment. But today, and Erin can describe for you how it worked out today, Beechwood Knoll is the first pilot school for this. Today was the first pilot school we did our testing. We sent in our samples to the testing facility, and it was a great success. But Mrs. Perkins could probably give you some additional information firsthand on how it went today.
Sure, probably Mrs. Perkins, the last thing you thought you'd be a specialist in when you came on board, but
definitely, yep. It was great. The kids were great. We were able to secure two RNs from the company that we're working with, so that was a huge help. Today, one of them was with us because we only did one school. And we, you know, have everything set up on a cart. We have the swabs, the test tubes, tissues, PPE, all the things that we need. We rolled the little cart over to the classroom and called the students out, explained, you know, what was going to happen, that we just will swab just the very inside of their nose. It doesn't go up, you know, all the way up or anything like that. It's not invasive at all. It tickles a little bit. And the children blow their nose, they sanitize their hands, and then they swab the inside five times each nostril, and then they put Q-tip down in the test tube. And so the kids handled it really, really well. It went very smoothly. We had a couple of students that were a little bit nervous, so I did volunteer to test myself and show them how to do that. So it's a learning experience for all of us, but I think in general it went really, really well, and the kids and the staff were just really great about it. So hopefully we get more parents to participate. We want as many families as we can to participate. So hopefully, you know, seeing it happen in some of our schools, the rest of our schools start next week. So about three schools each day. So I think Lincoln, Clifford Marshall, and Bernazani are on Monday, and they'll have their first round. And so hopefully as people see it and people realize it's not that bad, it really is not a big deal. The kids were awesome. We gave them stickers. They were very happy, you know, happy, proud of themselves, and went right back to class. So it's not disruptive at all. So hopefully, you know, more families will feel comfortable and agree to participate.
So it is voluntary?
It's voluntary, yep.
Mm-hmm. And is it just students or staff and personnel as well?
Students and staff.
Okay.
Yeah, both.
And so let's talk about, you know, how the testing is handled, the results, how are the results handled?
Yeah, so the results will come back to us. So when you initially set up the pooled tests, you input just the barcode from the test tube. We keep the name, so the company, which is called CIC Health, does not actually get any identifying information of our students or our staff. We keep that information. It's just a barcode that we record, and we have the names of the students and staff that have participated. And then it's on a like a web-based program, and we get an alert when the results are back. And so if the test come back negative, if a pool comes back negative, then we're good to go. And we just keep on, you know, with our week. And we don't contact parents if there's a negative test result. If a pool comes back positive, then we would obviously immediately contact families. We have in our possession the Bionex Now rapid antigen test, which we would immediately give to any students or staff who are in a positive pool. So depending on when this will be, kind of what we'll figure out as we go, if the results come back while students are in school, which is what we're hoping for, then we would just call them down one by one, give that with the children that were in that pool or the staff, give them the rapid test. It takes 15 minutes, that's it, and you know who the positive person was. And so all the negative people that tested would go back to class. And if the person that was positive, we would begin the contact tracing process for that person. So that's how we hope that it's going to work. By chance, if they're out of school, then we would have them test like right before school the next day or that evening, depending on when we get the results back. But we do not want any students to miss school because they've chosen to participate in the pool testing initiative. So we will get it. If we have to go to houses and do it that way, we will do it so that kids do not miss school unnecessarily. And it's really quick. It's, again, very easy, not invasive, just through the beginning part of their nose, and you know within 15 minutes.
Okay. Now I'm assuming there's a consent form for the students to sign.
Yes, there is a consent that we actually have online, and the principals have put in all their newsletters, but there is a consent that allows us to do the initial pooled testing, but then also, if we need to, the follow-up testing with Bionex Now, because then once a pool is positive and we have a student or a staff person that's positive, we do have to inform DPH of those test results.
Okay, and do they need to fill out that form for each test or just once?
Just once. Just okay. One time. Yep.
Have there been any positive cases yet?
Well, we just did our first pool testing today, so we sent the samples to the lab. So hopefully not. Well, knock on wood. We hope that they all come back negative, but this is our first time, so we don't know yet.
Sure. This is the way a lot of institutions of higher education are getting kids back in the classroom, is through this pool testing initiative. Do you anticipate it continuing past 6 weeks?
I would, I know Aaron will have thoughts on this as well. I hope so. When we met with the Department of Education and they did a webinar with other districts who had piloted this program earlier on in the year, initially the participation rate for students was low and staff was low, but as they saw how easy it was and how effective the data is in regard to showing the low transmission rate of COVID-19 within a school system, the rate of participation increased significantly to the point where it was extremely effective. We're hoping over time that will happen here in Quincy. And we're actually hoping that the state will extend the funding window as well, but we'll see if that happens or not, because we could certainly use that. But assuming that does not happen, we'll take a hard look at the data we get over the next 6 weeks, see how useful it is. We're hoping it is useful. It has been useful in other districts and other towns. And we're hoping that we can use this data at a minimum to show to the community and to our students and families that it is absolutely safe to return to in-person learning in the schools, and that the rate of COVID-19 transmission within schools is extremely low.
We've heard concern, Mr. Mulvey, of course, from some teachers across the state about getting vaccinated before having classes in person again. Is that a concern by Quincy teachers as well?
We've been working hand in hand with our teachers, and we've met and bargained over the return of grade 1 to 3 and grade 12. And we will continue to do that and continue to address any concerns teachers may have. Our own very close contact tracing, which we've been doing since September, and Mrs. Perkins and Mrs. Bailey and our nurses have been doing, and Mrs. Owens, Laura Owens, has been a part of that as well, have been doing a fantastic job of very closely monitoring and administering our contact tracing, which has showed very little to zero in-school transmission. And based on that, I think particularly our in-person or hybrid teachers have seen and realized, as well as the community, that in-school transmission has been so low that it is safe to return to school for our in-person students. And we're confident and hopeful that the pooled testing will substantiate that information as well.
What's on the current status of athletics?
So athletics, we just finished up our winter season. We're starting what they call our fall two season.
Right.
That will include football and track and cheerleading and some other sports. So we're continuing with that. The social emotional benefit of athletics has proven to be invaluable for our students, mental health and social well-being. So we are fully behind and fully supportive of the fall two sports schedule. We actually reviewed that last night with school committee at our athletic subcommittee meeting. Our athletic directors, Mr. Kevin Mahoney and Mr. JJ Niemke, have been doing a fantastic job along with the coaching staff, nursing staff, principals in keeping our students safe during athletic events and other extracurricular activities. And we're confident we can continue that moving forward. So we intend to offer the maximum amount of sports that we can offer and extracurricular activities that we can offer so that our students do have that outlet for social emotional purposes.
And other vocational programs also in full attendance right now?
Yes. So they're in full operation. And again, it's probably close to that percentage of 50-50 mm-hmm. students mm-hmm. electing. But we are supporting our remote students in the vocational, career and vocational classes. So we are moving full speed ahead with that. And we're hopeful that we'll have full in-person learning for those students that wish to participate in that programming as well as quickly as we can.
Sure. What is the status of higher testing, MCAS, this year? I know it changed last year.
It has changed. And actually, we just did a presentation on that. And Mrs. Perkins led that presentation. So I'll hand that over to Mrs. Perkins so that she can discuss that with you.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah. So we do still have to administer the MCAS this year. We're actually in the middle of what's called access testing, which is our standardized testing for our EL students that helps us determine their English proficiency levels and also their progress towards their student goals. And so we're doing that right now, and we anticipate that MCAS will follow probably a similar model. So for the access test, whether or not you are remote or in person, you do have to come in to take the assessment. And so we've worked with our families just to make sure that when they come in, they feel safe, because that is, you know, a real big deal for some of our families who have had their students home all year and they really haven't gone anywhere or done anything. You know, it's nerve-wracking to now come into a public building. And so we've, you know, made sure that students are 6 feet apart. We're doing it one-to-one or in small groups. Everything is sanitized before and after the testing. But in terms of MCAS, they have decreased the number of sessions. So English, math, and science will, instead of having multiple sessions, which has historically been the case, they'll only have one session. So it will be significantly shorter. But right now, although they have not told us officially, we do assume that the students that are remote will also be required to come in and take the assessment at some point.
Okay. So Erin, as the former director of special education, you know, how important is it, especially for kids with special needs, to have in-person education?
I mean, I don't think there's anything more important right now. I think that, I think our teachers that are teaching remotely are doing a phenomenal job. I think that they are doing their best to make a tough situation the best that it can possibly be. But I just don't think there's any replacement for in-person learning. And I also think, you know, when you have students, especially our special education students, that have oftentimes social and emotional obstacles as well as pretty significant learning disabilities, you know, that interaction with teachers and staff, and to be able to follow up immediately if a student is struggling, and to know, you know, it's very difficult to know when a student is struggling on a TV screen, you know, so to be able to follow up immediately and, you know, make those corrections and have those social interactions, you know, that modeling that occurs peer to peer, how do you replace that on a computer? It's just not possible. So I think that in-person learning is essential for all of our students, but in particular our special education students.
Sure. Mr. Mulvey, I'm curious, I know I might be getting a little ahead of myself, but has there been any discussion yet about say things like proms and graduation?
Oh, absolutely. So we'll start with graduation. So we're already planning for graduation in June. So it'll probably be very similar to how we did graduation this past year, with probably the classes are a bit larger this year at North Quincy than they were last year. As you remember, we had two ceremonies for Quincy High last year and one for North. We'll very likely have to have two ceremonies for Quincy High, two ceremonies for North, so a total of four. Mm-hmm. We'll set it up in such a way that if the situation with regard to COVID-19 changes and things improve, we may be able to bring the groups together if it's safe to do so. But if not, we will have two ceremonies for each school. And so so the dates currently scheduled for Quincy High graduation are June 7th and June 8th. And the dates scheduled for North Quincy High are June 9th and June 10th. So that's graduation. Proms may be a little bit more difficult because of the nature of that event and the difficulty in socially distancing. So that's something that we'll see as we move forward. You know, we'll have to get guidance from the state on that, whether or not it would be acceptable and safe, ultimately, to have an event like that. Certainly, if the state indicates that it is safe and it's something we can do, we'll certainly look at that. We're trying to make sure that our students have every opportunity to enjoy their junior and senior years as much as possible and make it as normal as possible for them. So that's something we'll continue to work with our principals on in the state and local health officials to see if that's something we can do. But certainly graduation is something that we can pull off using the same or similar processes that we used last year to make it safe for our graduates.
Sure. You both must be extremely excited to start to see the light at the end of the tunnel here as more kids come back in person.
Yes, it's getting more and more hopeful as the days go by between the vaccines and seeing our students come back to in person. It's timely that, you know, spring is arriving around the same time, so it's like everything's coming to life again, and hopefully it'll stay that way moving forward. I know Mrs. Perkins will have her own thoughts on that, but it is very hopeful, and we just want this trend to continue in the right direction.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, there's just nothing that compares to when you walk into a classroom and you see all those children's faces smiling up at you, you know, even behind the masks. You know, and just to see, you know, this morning being at Beechwood, to hear the noise in the school buildings that have been quiet for so long, you know, to hear the laughter and kids talking and moving about the building, it's really exciting to be getting back to that, which I think is just so important.
Sure. If folks want to reach out, if they have any concerns or questions, what are some good ways for them to do that?
Certainly, they can reach out if it's a student, they can reach out to their principals, they can reach out to their guidance counselors, they can reach out to any member of the SLT, they can reach out to me, to Aaron Perkins. So all of our emails are listed on the website, and our telephone numbers are listed on the website for ease of purpose. For me, it's Kevin Mulvey at QuincyPublicSchools.com. For Mrs. Perkins, it's Aaron Perkins at QuincyPublicSchools.com. The same would apply for SLT, the first name, and then in principal's first name, and then at Quincy Public Schools. Certainly feel free to email or call with any questions or concerns. We're here as a resource for the students and families of Quincy, and we want to make sure that they're given every opportunity to maximize their educational experience here in Quincy and support them as much as possible in that process.
Great. Anything else you'd like to share with folks right now?
I just want to thank all of the parents and students for their patience over the year. The communication to and from have been excellent. We've done over 100 parent forums now since this started. The parent groups have been fantastic, and the student groups have been fantastic. The staff groups have been fantastic. You know, I just want to thank everyone, students, parents, and staff in the greater community for their patience and support throughout this whole process. It has been a great challenge, but everyone has really risen to the occasion to focus on what is best for our students, making sure safety is a top priority while making sure they get the best education possible here in Quincy. And I just want to thank everyone who participated in that. And I know Mrs. Perkins will have her own thoughts on that as well.
Yeah, I mean, I would just say I'm so proud of the Quincy community in general. You know, I'm a born and raised Quincy person and attended Quincy Public Schools, as did Superintendent Mulvey. And I couldn't be prouder of our families and our staff and just everyone who's come together to make this year possible. I think that Quincy has done an amazing job throughout this, and I'm just so thankful that we're here today, and thankful that everyone has been able to stay safe in our school system, and looking forward to getting back to normal hopefully sometime in the near future.
And also, we can't forget to thank the mayor and the school committee, of course, for their support, because without their support and guidance throughout this process, it would be very difficult for any administration to successfully navigate. They've been fantastic, and big thanks to the mayor and school committee for their support.
Sure. Well, thank both of you for spending some time here with us here at QATV. We're happy to help you get the word out to the community. If we can do anything more here, please call on us. We're happy to help.
Yeah, thank you very much, and thanks for having us today.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.